Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew 28. I'm still trying to get my breath from singing with Angela. It was good. If you would, stand in reverence to the Word of God with us this morning.
Get you right to the message. You know what the message is. You know the story. But I would like to read the 28th chapter version of the story today. Verse 1 says, Matthew 28, verse 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. As they went to his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. When they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we thank you for this opportunity to gather together and to celebrate your resurrection. Lord, help us not to just take this as a holiday, an extra day off of work, or a time to dress up and a time to get with family and eat. But help us realize what took place when they came to an empty tomb, and what that meant for you that's here today and for myself. Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here that's not sure about this story, that Lord, they'll understand this is real. Lord, my prayer is for those that are saved to understand what the resurrection means for them today as well. Lord, I thank you today for being alive.
and interceding right now on my behalf. Have your way through this service. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Familiar story, and I don't want to take a lot of time rebuilding it up for you. I want to get right to the point today. There's three groups of people that met that day that I think is really important to look at, because chances are those three groups are represented in this service this morning. First of all, you had the women. The women were the first to come to the tomb. They were first to find the tomb empty. They were the first ones that the angel spoke to and said, "Come and see." I want you to know today, there's a lot of people who have discovered for real that Jesus is real. There's people in this building today who've heard the story, but finally discovered for themselves, they went and saw, they've called upon Him, they prayed to Jesus, and Jesus has come into their life, and they know it's real. I pray today that when you leave here, everybody will know it's real. See, a lot of people hear the story, and realistically, the number one show on television right now is the Bible. There's all of a sudden a big fascination about the Bible. People are interested in the Bible story. And I heard this morning on the news that they're starting to make a lot more movies based on the Bible because people are curious about the Bible all of a sudden. But I want you to know something. Curiosity about the Bible will not get you to heaven. Amen. Easter Sunday will not get you to heaven. Amen. Singing church songs will not get you to heaven. Reading your Bible will not get you to heaven. All it will do is cause you to come up with a conviction that will cause you either to go see if it's real or just write it off as a story. Every one of us in this building, at one time or another, has been convicted about this Bible. We've heard the story Christmas, we've heard the story Easter, we've heard all the stories, and we've debated in our mind if it's real or not. But you know what? At 12 years old, I decided to go see. And I called upon Jesus Christ, and I asked Him to forgive me of my sins. And I want you all to know something with all honesty this morning. It is real. Amen. It's as real as I'm sitting here. It's as real as you're sitting there. And I want you to know this. It's not the Baptist way, or the Methodist way, or the Catholic way, or the Nazarene way, or the Islam way. It's God's way. Amen. See, Jesus made it possible that no matter who you are, no matter what class of people you feel like you fall in, maybe you're the redneck group like me, it's amazing to me that the Bible has outranked Doug Dynasty. That's just amazing to me. I read my Bible, but I like to watch Doug Dynasty. And you could be me today and be in that class of people who like camouflage and shotguns. I'm the guy, okay? I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loves you. You may like to ride Harley Davidson's, by the way. I like to ride Harleys too. And I can tell you a secret. Jesus loves you to ride Harley Davidson's. No matter where you come from, no matter what your background is, no matter how your life history has been, Jesus loves you. Whether you accept that or not, that's your deal. But He's not going to change. He loves you anyway. Amen. But you'll never make heaven until you come and see. All the invitations in the Bible is about you coming to Him. The Bible tells us in Revelations, in the very end of the story, He said, "Behold, I set the door and knock. If any man will open up to me, I will come into him." See, you've got to invite Him to dwell with you. And how that happens is by asking Him to become your Lord and Savior. The women were the first to meet Jesus after He was resurrected. You know, this story is so cool because it cancels out everything that was known to man at that time. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, who remembers who the witnesses were of His birth? They were shepherds. Did you know in a court of law, shepherds could not be a witness?
Their testimony did not stand good in a court of law. Now, ladies, don't get mad at me, okay? You ready? Neither did they accept women's testimony in a court of law. But do you know who the Lord decided to tell, to go tell everybody else that He's risen? You ladies, go ahead and clap. It was you! He chose you! He picked you! He said, go and tell my believers, go and tell my brethren that I'm alive and they can meet me in Galilee. You know, that's such a cool story because the Bible said when the ladies met Him in verse number 10 or verse number 9, they worshiped at His feet. I think it's an awesome thing when they heard the story, they discovered it was real. Jesus confirmed that. How? By Himself. Can I help you all today? If you're here today and you think you're saved because some preacher told you, you need to get saved. Because I tell you this, when you really get saved, Jesus will make it real to you. The Bible says that His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. And I can tell you this at night. Every night that I go to bed, I've had heart surgery. I am a cancer patient. I've had illnesses in my life. But there's one thing I'm not afraid of, and that's dying. Because I know Jesus is real. Friday, I went and had other cancer tests run. This week, I'm supposed to get the answers. But can I tell you this? Cancer or not? Cancer or not? I know where I'm going. Amen. Not because some preacher told me, but because Jesus made it real to me. And while Jesus said to those women, when they discovered the tomb was empty, He verified it by Himself, saying, hey ladies, I'm alive. Can I ask you all a question this morning? I know it's getting close to eating time, and I'm hungry. Has He revealed Himself to you today that He's real? Do you know? Have you talked to Him? When you talk to Him, do you know He's real? Do you hear Him? Does He speak to you? He said, preacher, you're crazy. Like, you believe in the burning bush? No, but I tell you what I do believe. He spoke to Moses through the burning bush, but He speaks to Steve today. The still, small voice. And through His Word. I don't hear the audible voice. I feel it in my heart. And God, every day of my life, conveys to Steve that I am real and I am here. I hope that there's a group of people in this building today that's like those women who have discovered He's real. And your job is simple. To go and tell everybody else, He's real. And I promise you, every day of your life, He will make you know He's real. But there's another group. If you go back to chapter 28, in verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Can you see the picture? I've been to Israel a couple times and we've been to Gordon's Calvary and they've showed us a tomb there that supposedly could have been the tomb that Jesus was born or buried in, and they show the trough with a huge stone would have rolled. And can you imagine rolling up there that day and to do the ointments, and because the Sabbath day was over, and when they got there, an angel's all perched up sitting up on the stone. I figure Cain's got his legs crossed. Is everybody all right? That's what I would have said, Bob. Is everybody all right? But don't you see verse 2? The Bible said, and he sat upon it. Verse 3, His countenance was like lightning. His raiment white as snow. Verse 4, and for fear of Him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. I looked up the word dead men. The best I can figure out is
They passed out. That's probably a logical answer. The ground shakes. The rock that took several men to get in place is rolled out of the way. An angel in white raiment, I'm sure kind of glowing, sitting there on the rock. They passed out. Now, I want to talk to you about the soldiers. Chapter 7, or 27, gives us what the soldiers were in charge of. I want to read this because I think it's important. Look at verse 62. This same page in my Bible. Matthew 27, 62. The next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." Let me ask you something. I think these people kind of believed, but they wanted to make sure it didn't happen. You wouldn't take precautionary measures if you didn't think he's going to come out of the grave. Amen? "Command, therefore, the sepulchre be made sure until the third day." Why not just 2 days? Because he said in 3 days he's coming out. You make sure 3 days that there's no way he can come out of that rock, out of that tomb. The Bible said, "Lest his disciples come by night, steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last hour shall be worse than the first." What? The last what? The first what? Hour? Are they saying it's a mistake, we should have killed him? They said that this error will be worse than the last one we just did. We've got to make sure he don't come out of that grave. So the Bible tells us, Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went, made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone, and setting a watch. So here's what they did. They had the stone put in place. They put the government seal on that stone. That was verifying nobody can open this tomb except Pilate and the Roman government. They put soldiers in front of it and they said, "You're responsible for this tomb not being broke in." And basically what they said was, "Your life for that rock. That rock moves, you die." And so they were in charge with their life to guard that stone. The third day, I could hear the earth shaking. I'm sure they felt it beneath their legs. And that rock rolled away. And that angel sat there. And the Bible said they fell as if they were dead. You know what they did? They go and they tell Pilate what's happened. And the Jews made a deal with them. "You say that somebody came and stole the body. And we will protect you because we know your life is supposed to be for his life." And you know what they did? They took the money and they did it. You say, "What's the big deal, preacher?" Can I tell you this today? There's people sitting right here in this building who know he's real. But you won't buy into the story. You would rather change the story to a lie. You sat in church and you felt the conviction of God. And because for some reason, whether what somebody thinks or what somebody might say about you, you will hide that or even change the story and tell people he's not real. Can I tell you how dangerous that is? Let me show you how dangerous that is. Keep your Bible marked and go to the book of Romans. I'm almost done, but you've got to see this. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. We live in a day and time where people are curious about God and people... See, you can go to the dollar store and buy a Bible. Do you know that?
you can go to the Dollar Tree, the Dollar Max, and buy a Bible for $1. There's places in this world that's against the law to have one page of a Bible. You could go to jail today in a lot of countries if you're caught with one page of a Bible. But here in America, you can go to any place you want to go and buy a Bible. They're everywhere. There's Bibles free in this country. But there's people who are denying that He's real. But let me tell you this. I think they know He's real because He's made Himself real to them. Verse 18, Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Can I ask you a question? Is it possible what Paul's talking about is what these Roman soldiers were doing? Look at me a minute. Do you think that those Roman soldiers knew he had rose from the grave, or do you think that they thought he was stolen? They knew he rose. They were right there, Greg. They'd seen the whole thing take place. They know the ground shook and the rock moved, and you know what? They knew he came out of there. But you know what they did? They took a little money and they said, he was stolen. Look what Paul says in verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. You know what happened to those soldiers that day? God revealed to those soldiers, hey guys, I'm real. Without a preacher, without a Bible, He revealed to them, I am real. I have sat with families at the hospital while the doctors are removing tumors. And the doctor comes out and says, I cannot explain this, but we found no tumor. I'm looking at the picture, but it's not there anymore. You know what God did to that family? He revealed He was real. Amen. But a lot of times that family won't even pay attention to what God... Well, and I've had this happen. They'll say, well, you know what? They better get better technology. You know, they scared us to death. We've been thinking Mama had a tumor and we've been ready for this surgery to remove Mama's tumor, and because of a bad x-ray or a bad MRI, now we find out we've waited for nothing. I'm like, are you all crazy? That God has stepped into your own life and made Himself real? Yeah, preacher, I don't believe that. I'm telling you what, you can believe what you want to, but God's in the way of making Himself known to the world. I am real. And every day of your life, He makes it known. How many of you have ever been in a near collision? How many of you have ever had something happen? You think, I can't even explain that. You know what? God's making Himself real. But you know what? What you do with that, it's up to you. The Bible says this, and I want you to forget this. Verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I can be honest with you. I'm just a country boy, but I can look up in the sky and I can tell you God's real. Rochelle, we spent this fall picking up walnuts. I thought we were going to crack them and have stuff, you know, walnut bread and stuff with walnuts in. I like walnuts. So the other day she goes outside and she dumps that bucket that we picked up walnuts with out on the ground because the squirrels were out there. You know what the squirrels did? We ain't eating that junk. No, they didn't. They went to paying them. They went to eating. And then some of those crazy squirrels went to hiding them. I'm like, you guys are crazy. It's springtime. You know what happened about 3 days later? Was y'all around last week? Y'all see the snow? You know what those squirrels were doing when it snowed? They ran over there when that hit them the nuts. They moved the snow away. Guess what they found? You got it. Isn't evolution great? You'd have to be crazy to believe that's evolution. That's God. God put enough seeds in a squirrel
to know where to find his nut at. Y'all with me? That's the kind of God I serve. And He's all the time making Himself real. And folks, you ain't going to get any realer. Is realer a word?
Thanks, Bob.
Bobby's my school guy. He tells me that realer's a word.
Good enough.
Good enough. Thank you. You're not going to get any realer than a stone rolled away and an angel sitting on top of it. That's real. Matt, they stole him. You know what God said? Because of this, they're without excuse. One day those soldiers are going to stand before an Almighty God who He made Himself real to them. And they knew He's alive. And they said, nah. You know what? They're going to burn in hell because they didn't accept. They knew it's real, but they just wrote it off. Now here's the closure and I'm done. See, the first group discovered, the second group denied. But what about the third group? Those faithful disciples, those guys that have been with Him through thick and thin, watched Him walk on water, watched Him reach in a fish's mouth and pull out the tax money. He was with them everywhere, seen three people raised from the dead. What about those guys, the believers? This is what the Bible said in verse number 16 of Matthew 28 and 17. We'll quit. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. See, they believed enough came to go meet Him. Because they'd already discovered He's real. They'd already made the trip. They know He's real. They've seen all the stuff He's done. He's real, Joe. He's real, real, real. And Jesus said, meet you over, we'll meet you over there. Verse 17. And when they saw Him, they worshiped. They did what the ladies did a while ago. Fell at His feet and worshiped. They worshiped Him. But look at the rest of that verse. But somewhat doubted. Look at me as we close. There's a lot of believers in here. You have been made aware that He's real. You've accepted Him. He said, come and see. You came and saw. And He's alive in your life, and you know He's really done things in your life. Let me ask you something. Do you ever doubt? You ever have any doubts? You ever panic because of waiting on a test result? You ever panic because we're not sure we're going to be able to pay the bills? You ever doubt? You ever lose doubt because this marriage ain't working? We're just not getting along together. I don't know what we're going to do, but this ain't working. You ever doubt? Those disciples doubted. See, I can tell you as a believer, you can have that. But you're still a believer. I remember one of the guys that prayed. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, if I can tell y'all anything this Easter Sunday morning, that's my prayer for me. Lord, I believe You. But I can tell you I lose a lot of sleep some nights because I got some doubts about stuff. I don't doubt eternity. I don't doubt what He did in the tomb. But you know what? Sometimes I doubt some of this other stuff. You hear about churches having trouble, fighting, splitting, and you think, is the church really worth it? You have to get in. Because I believe in it. Do you ever doubt, preacher? Sure. You know why? Because people make up church. This church gets made up of the women that worshiped and believed and went and saw. But there's also some soldiers who I don't really know if it's all what He says it is. But then there's the disciples who believe, but we still got some doubts. So I ask you this morning, where are you? Have you ever came and saw? You ever experienced it for yourself? Let me ask you this. Has God made Himself real in your life? Is there any doubt in your mind that He's not real? Then let me tell you this. If you're no doubt, you know He's real, then God's given you an opportunity today to accept Him, to come and see. But if you don't come and see, you may end up like those soldiers. who was made real, but they didn't accept it. Or you may be one of those disciples today. You say, "Preacher, you know what? I've had some doubts about some stuff, and I really need some help today with my unbelief." Can I tell you what Jesus did when they doubted Him? He showed up in the room. By the way, this would have been enough for me. He walked through the door without opening it. I mean, I'm done. I live in a house I'm pretty sure is haunted. I've seen people in the middle of the night walk through. I keep sprinting. I've been sneaking around the house at night. And I don't know who it is, but I'm telling you this. If I'm in broad daylight and somebody walks through that door and that door never opened, no questions asked. I saw that. He did that. Walked right in the room, never opened the door. And there's Thomas there. "Lord, I only believe if I can touch your hand and your side." Jesus said, "Here it is." Can I tell you this? When they walked out of that upper room, they believed. It really got real by then, Pentecost, because Peter preached the message. And this is what Peter said. He is alive. There's no doubt in that. He is risen. He's alive. See, all of us can have doubts today. But God wants to take those doubts away. But you've got to seek Him for that. Can I ask you something today? If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? There's people in here that say, "Preacher, I know for sure." But there's probably people here that's not sure. Can I challenge you today before you leave, if you're not sure, that you'll come and see if it's real? If He's made Himself real to you, you're sitting there and say, "Preacher, I feel like God wants me to come." Then He's wanting you to make it real. Would you come today? Let's stand and pray. Brian, if you'll come. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pause today. I thank You for everything You do. I thank You for Your blessings this morning. Lord, the songs have been about the resurrection, and the Scripture that's read has been about the resurrection. And Lord, I know that I'm praying to a God that's alive right now. I believe this is real. You've made it known to me that it's real. Lord, I pray for those in this service who maybe have never come and saw. Help them today, Lord, to have enough faith to step out of where they're sitting and come and see. Lord, I pray for those who may have doubt today. Help their unbelief. They may just need a little extra prayer this morning about a situation. Help them today. Lord, have Your way in this invitation. In Christ's name, amen. Let's have Brian.